Hey guys, welcome back to Rock Talk Podcast. We are on episode 4 now. Holy shit. Got the big homie Zach Piper on today. So, Zach, how you been doing, man?
What's going on, Ian? Doing good, man. Just, living the pandemic life. That's how it
Hell
goes
yeah.
nowadays.
Yeah, dude. And so I know you as not only just a great friend, but also you rip it on the guitar. But I also know that you've been putting your foot into the drum world now.
Yep.
How's that been going?
Oh, that's been awesome, man. I've been playing drums for a while, like I guess right alongside a guitar. So it was always a good therapy session, just after band practice, go hop on, whatever drummer I was playing with, hop on a set and just, I'm gonna mess around real quick. So I kind of, after playing guitar for so long, I was like, I'm gonna kind of invest more time and go, like, I'm gonna actually sit on the throne for a little bit, see how that feels. Feels
Fuck
good.
yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh
So,
yeah.
yeah, are you at John Bonham level yet?
No, not quite. I'm kind of sitting somewhere between John, like, I guess, I don't know. I'm kind of doing like more metal stuff, so I'm trying to sit between, I want to say Slipknot because the new drummer is just ridiculous, but stuff. Yeah,
Jay Weinberg, man.
I was like, that's, I mean, like my influences are, I guess like Trivium's drummer Alex Bent, and then Slipknot. So there's a couple ones I'm trying to emulate, but I'm not quite that skilled yet, of course. So I'm like,
No.
yeah, I'll do half that speed.
Fuck yeah, dude. Those are good guys to be looking up to.
Dude, for real. They impressed me. Like,
Yeah.
whew.
I
I mean,
mean,
I even got a Trivium logo tattooed on my arm.
fuck yeah. And then I got the Slipknot.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, fucking Alex Bent, man, when Trivium put him on the lineup, when they released the first single from Sin in the Sentence, The Sin in the Sentence, holy fuck, they were just like, hey, check out our new drummer.
Well, hey, look at all these
Oh.
little flourishes. I mean,
Yeah.
check this out.
You ever wondered what it sounded like if every single piece of your drum kit got played in the song? Alex Bent.
Exactly. And then if you watch a live play of that guy, it's just robotic. He just sits there, perfect posture, doesn't even look like he's breaking a sweat. It's just another day in the office. I'm like, man.
Yeah.
Oh, it
Just
gets me every time.
like I don't know if you know Avatar, but they've done the Ages live stream shows recently. And I watched the first one, and holy shit, just their drummer, he's just going in on the drums, but also it's just his torso is just completely still, and you barely see his fucking body moving from his double kick. He's just killing it on the double kick, and he's just like, yeah, nothing, nothing.
That's just another day.
Yeah,
I do this all the time.
it's so fucking impressive.
Well, that's why I'm gonna start wearing ankle weights while I play. That way, I have a little. It's gonna do a little conditioning work.
Oh yeah, and just like in baseball, put the donut on the bat.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah, dude. So do you have any interests or prospects into bands in the future?
Not yet, and not probably for a little while. I'm new dad now, so he's
Yeah.
taking up quite a bit of time. That and COVID, no one's playing any shows anytime soon, so I'm kind of just sitting back, living the dad life for a little bit, focusing on more. I mean, I love playing music, but it doesn't pay, so more money-focused career stuff.
Nice. Yeah, definitely. And with that, it also reminds me, Twitch. You're doing like, do you have a schedule on Twitch or you just go on when you can?
Exactly. It's more when I can, when the baby permits, and when, like, me and mom work. So when mom's at work, and it's not like I can sit down and go, all right, man, I'm gonna go stream. You just go chill in here. Maybe in a few years, but not for a while. So it's more or
Yeah.
less, if I do hop on, it's like Tuesday to Friday. It's usually like the days I get on there. Like, I might be on there later tonight. It depends, if because I like to stream with my buddy. Because otherwise, you know, it's a small channel, so it's not many people are watching. So it's just sitting there quietly playing my game. When I'm like, I see my friends playing. I might as well play with them, you know?
Hell yeah. And your Twitch is X Pied Piper X, but with the I and the E in Pied is one and a three.
Yes. Yeah, 13. Yeah. That's favorite number. Yeah, fuck, so it's yeah. XP13D Piper, P-I-P-E-R, was it X, right, then again?
Yeah.
Yeah, I made so many little things for that little name. Like, I tried making Twitches, and I was like, I should make a Facebook, and, you know, I should make all these social medias for this Twitch account. It's going to be huge, man. It's going to be a fun time. And I'm watching his channel and my channel, and he's like, because, like, the first milestone is getting, like, affiliate, I think it's called, which is, like, 50 followers. So me and him are, like, racing to that. And I see him just leaving me in the dust. And I'm like, damn.
But you play a lot of fun games. Like, you've hopped on Warzone on there, even though it does tax your computer.
Yeah. I was butthurt, man. I bought that game that day, downloaded the whole 150,000 gigs it is or whatever, went to play it, hit stream, and on my end, it looked fine. And then I have, you know, people in the chat telling me, hey, the video's frozen. I'm like, everything looks good on my end. I don't know what's happening. So I got to play it one time on stream, and people got to see 5 seconds of one match. So... We stuck to the more less taxing games, like Phasmophobia is a good one that we like to play, like little Ghost Hunters and stuff, or we'll play some League of Legends sometimes, just as like a good chatting game, or we mostly play Rogue Company, and what we're going to start doing is a thing called WoW Wednesdays. Oh, I don't know if you can hear the baby in the background.
I can, but it. Yep. There's nothing we can do about that.
Nope. He has no volume knob and no mute button, no power control.
No matter how much you wish it, you take it.
Yep. Exactly. But we're going to start doing this thing called WoW Wednesdays. Just play World of Warcraft on Wednesdays. You know, we might stream it too, just because. It's something that, you know, all of us can do, because I think there's like 6 or 7 of us, you know, that we all play together. So there's not too many games that are 6 to 7 people.
Yeah.
You can sometimes get away with Call of Duty, but as you saw, I can't stream it, so if we do play it, yeah, you won't see it. Or maybe Among Us.
If you do stream Call of Duty, you're streaming like Call of Duty Ghosts.
Yeah, something real old. Like, all right, gentlemen, welcome to Black, off the original Xbox edition.
Hey guys, today we're going to be playing the original release of Modern Warfare.
Yeah. Hi guys, we're gonna play Call of Duty 2.
Man, wasn't that like Call of Duty 2, the red one?
With the what, like the Cold War? You mean like the red one, like Red October? Yeah, like,
yeah,
I don't remember.
I don't.
I know Call of Duty 3.
First two were just like oof.
Oh yeah, they were like Medal of Honor days and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember Medal of Honor had a game come out every year, and for a while, Medal of Honor was so much better than Call of Duty, and then it just switched. It's just, I don't know what happened. Call of Duty figured it out.
Yeah, I think that's Treyarch right there.
Yeah, well, it's also, you know, because Call of Duty over its time has had different developers or whatever, so it really changes the whole game when that happens.
Yeah, and what was crazy is that there was that one point in time where it was just, like, popping back and forth between developers for each game. Like, it was Activision this game, the next year it's Treyarch, and the next year was Sledgehammer, and you're just sitting there and like, okay, guys, what the fuck?
Yep. I'm one of the ones that's like, as long as it has zombies, I'm cool, which is usually Treyarch, so I'm like, all right, I'm fine with that.
Hell yeah.
And I played the new zombies so far, because, like I said, we can't stream it, so... The time I do get to play, and I do stream, I don't play it much, but I played 2-3 matches of zombies, and ooh, man, new one's fun. Hell new one's a lot of fun.
Fuck yeah, man. There's like still nothing beats like classic, the first Black Ops.
Oh, yeah.
Zombies. Fucking Kino Duron Toten.
Well, that's what the cool part is. On this new map, you actually start on the from the original map.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's like a rendition, but it definitely is the building, and you you're basically starting like right out back, like right outside of it, and you walk into it, and it's all broken down. I can't remember the timeline of it, if it's before or after the original. So I can't remember because I only played it once or twice, but no, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's something I do respect about Call of Duty 2 is they always use rock and metal as their soundtracks.
Yeah. For like it just gets leveling the blood up. Going a little bit. Like you always had that secret teddy bear moment where you had to find the three teddy bears and it'll be Avenged Sevenfold song. And every year I was just, what's the song going to be? What's the song going to be?
Oh man, yeah, those are one of the best things. It's always just sitting there. It's just like, oh, what does Avenged Sevenfold have in store for us in this game?
Yep. Oh, yeah, and then I forget which one more. It wasn't them anymore, and I was real sad. I was like, this is bullshit. I won't play anymore.
I think that was the one right before Cold War.
I don't know if it was before. I thought there was like two or three. I don't remember if there's been two or three like DLC maps on zombies that didn't have Avenged Sevenfold on there. Yeah. Can't remember which ones they were.
Because I know Black Ops 2 had the, when you complete the campaign mode, you get the virtual concert from Avenged Sevenfold of them playing Carry On. And then in the zombies map for that, they had Not Ready to Die.
Yep.
And I don't remember what songs were on the other ones, but I know Black Ops 4 Zombies, you could play as Matt Shadows.
Yeah, I heard that after I was done playing it, so I was like, damn it, I wish I knew that then.
Yeah. What was also fucking cool is one of the recent ones, they had David Tennant as a playable character. And I was like sitting there, it was just like my inner nerd, just like, the 10th Doctor! So yeah, it was just fucking, it's always cool that Call of Duty is always keeping it just like fun, pretty fresh. Like they don't deviate too far from what you are expecting from the game.
Yep, and if you're like me, I mean, I don't take it too serious. Like there was a time, sure, I was playing on clans and playing all the time and trying to do tournaments and stuff. But now I'm like, I like a good campaign with a good story and then some decent multiplayer and then I like zombies. So, every year, if there's a new Call of Duty, I just get it. It's just kind of ritual at this point. It's like Assassin's Creed every year. Just get it, even if it sucks like the last two or three did. Now, with this new one, Valhalla, they are redeeming themselves, in my opinion. It's dauntingly huge. Like, as in, there's just so much shit that you can do that you don't know where the hell to start. So, you just... For me, I just try to pick a little spot on the map and just like clear the whole little area and then move on, I guess.
Like, yeah. It's just like when GTA 5 first came out, when you just sat there and went, holy fuck, this is huge. This is an entire playground of shit to do.
Well, that's the cool part. Well, Assassin's Creed, you can do it a little bit too. But in Grand Theft Auto, it's the epitome. Hey, here's some quests, here's some side quests, here's some random events. But you could also do nothing.
Yeah. you could just also go around running over prostitutes and fucking...
You go to a strip club. You go to a store. You could actually interact with NPCs. Do whatever the hell you want. We don't care. At least with like Assassin's Creed and stuff, you're kind of forced to go along the quest line because you can't do it much to the NPCs because you lose synchronization or whatever that stuff is when you kill civilians or whatever. But it just cracks me up that on GTA you could always just be like, hey, you could do the quest. You've been playing for 36 days and you've only done 3 missions. Please do the next objective. Stop trying to get the 5 stars.
I think for the longest time, and I think it was like 3 years, my GTA 5 mission counter, like the story completion percentage, was at like 4%.
Oh,
for like 3 years. And then I finally was like, you know what? Let me see what Rockstar did for us.
Yep, exactly. I was like, you know what? They probably did a lot of money and a lot of time invested in this. Let me at least check it out.
Yeah.
and that was nice.
Yeah, it was not disappointing at all. It was really nice having 3 main characters.
I mean, yeah, I beat Grand Theft Auto 5 like 6 years ago, but they did a good job on it. Like, it's just make a new game already. Stop giving me all these stupid DLCs for this online, which is just so toxic. And I that I'm on, now that I got a PC, you know, a whole little nice PC and shit. I hop on there and I go on GTA and it's just, I finally get on a modded freaking little lobby, right? And so there's money just raining from a little cloud above my head. Just bloop, here's 200 grand, 200 grand, 200 grand. So you just sit there and just fucking build up money doing nothing. And they're just spawning in all this stupid stuff. Just crashing my game. I hear my... Yep. I look over, my freaking desktop is floating. The fans are spinning so damn fast.
Yeah. And you're just so looking over at your computer going, we get it, you vape.
Yeah, dude. It's, yeah, exactly. I'm like, hold up, bro. Hold up. Stop blowing those in my face. I'll get off. Man.
God, my computer just called me m'lady?
He said, do you even lift, bro? Yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. It's just, I uninstalled it. I don't play it anymore. It was just, it got too ridiculous. I'm like, all right, this game's dumb now. So just release Grand Theft Auto 6. I mean, you had a game go through, what, 3 console generations now? Holy shit. Like, let it go. Let it die.
It's Red Dead Redemption 2. Sit there and go, it's time for another one, guys. You've had plenty of time to write something.
Yeah, exactly. You had all this time to make all these DLCs.
Yeah, the San Andreas the storyline wasn't the most magnificent, but it is still heralded as the best GTA game ever. Just fucking toss us another San Andreas, or if anything, just remaster it. Put it up to today's graphics, you know?
I want to say I read somewhere they are doing that. They are going to do an HD version of San Andreas, I think. But I could have also seen it on Facebook, so it could be bullshit.
Trusting it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's just like, ooh, I'm going to order from this ad. I see it on Facebook. Yeah. I'm sure it'll get here in 2 weeks.
Oh, man. Mm. So what game have you found yourself like spending the most time on recently?
It's a good question. I guess probably I'm looking over at my little games over here. Probably Rogue Company.
Nice.
And that's just because that's a game we can stream. So I just kind of keep practicing as it were. Because, you know, I'm not the funniest person. So if someone's watching, I'd like them to at least see some decent gameplay. Maybe some highlights. You know what I mean?
Nope.
But yeah, probably that and... on League of Legends, they have a mode called TFT or Teamfight Tactics, right?
Yeah.
It's like auto chess in a way. Like auto battle chess. I don't know. Might be a good way to put it. But you can leave the PC. That's the thing I like about it. Because with the baby and everything, having to change diapers or do whatever it is. Because we have all these little stations for them, like a swing, a bouncer, and a walker. Not a walker, but a rocker. And all this other shit for them. So, you know, we move them from one section to one section to one section. To keep him happy, so that game, you can just put it on, go there, mix your team around, and you can just leave, and the game just auto-plays. You don't have to do anything. So it's a real good game to just be able to get up and walk away from. Thus, good game for new dads.
Nice.
Or new parents, in that matter.
Fucking nice, man.
I got way too many hours on that game, though.
So what have you noticed has been the biggest hurdle on Twitch right now?
I guess it's getting people, just getting people. That's the hardest thing. You know, it's easy on Facebook and stuff for your friends to just press like, but it's harder for them to press like and comment. You know, that's actually interacting with the link or interacting with the post. So it's even harder to get them to click the link that takes them to an external app and them to not have their focus right here or, you know, right here on the camera. Or like, because most time you're going to be scrolling Facebook while you're doing nothing, or you might be looking at your phone while you're on the toilet or whatever. You're not necessarily getting on Twitch because, ooh, I'm going to hop on and you know, take a look. Because right now, you know, I'm just trying to get my friends at least to come in and send the follow in to at least build it that way. Because I've gotten a handful of randoms, and I have no idea how they find the channel. Nothing. But I'm like, you know what? I make a post every time on Facebook just saying, hey, you know, I'm over there. I'm going to keep doing it. Because I make it, it's a public post, and I have a bunch of people on my Facebook that I don't even really know anymore. So who knows? Maybe somebody's seeing it, and I get to follow that way. But the hardest part is getting people to just at least show up, or at least be in the audience. But then if you look at the list of the games that people are playing right now, we are playing the niche games. I forget how many people are watching Twitch, but like there's a one game like Rust one day. It was like 760,000 people watching Rust. And then we're playing Rogue Company. It's at 2,200. there's not a big audience to share. You know what I mean?
that is true.
Yeah. But it's whatever. It's more or less just for fun anyways. So I'm not trying to have, you know, quit my job over it or anything like that, or try to, you know, live my life on Twitch. It's just more or less to have fun and play some games with my friends, and that's all. You know,
you're sitting there going, like, have fun, but if I end up getting that ninja money,
I'll take it. It is what it is. Now, the difference for me and, like, a ninja, I guess, or any of them, I would never quit my job, I guess, to go Twitch or stream on its own, because I don't trust it. It's such the vitality of it is insane. It's just up or down, or sometimes you're up and you're real high, and then that's when you quit your job. And then you say, like, one of the forbidden words or something, or I don't know, your house gets, raided, whatever is it? What's that shit called?
Swatting. Oh,
swatting. God. Yeah. Say you get swatted. I don't know. Say you get to that point somehow. Yeah. I don't ever want to worry about that.
With cancel culture these days.
Yep. Because that's when I quit my job. Like, I'm making some money on the Twitch thing, and then the next week, where's all my followers? And I'd be calling my boss. Could I have my job back? So no, I ain't doing that.
You go online and just say, canceled. He called me a dumb pee-pee poo-poo head.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Unfollow. And then all of a sudden, just everything's in shambles. And you're like, what happened?
Yeah. Well, the thing is so toxic, the whole community. Like, there's, even on YouTube and stuff, there's little niches of communities that are real cool. You know, whatever, PewDiePie and his bros, or I'm sure they're actually all cool together. This group's all cool together. But then there's people at the bottom of the sea where I'm at that will do anything to just grab low-hanging fish to eat them, like they're trying to become the bigger fish. Yep. So it's the weirdest thing, to where when you don't have a lot of followers, whatever, when you don't doing a lot of big stuff, people will shit on it because you're not at that, or you're not trying to do that, or you're not at that level. And it's like, well, I'm not trying to, nor what the fuck. Yeah. See, why would I bother?
Yeah, that and the biggest problem is preconceived notions when you do it. And then it's like, oh, he's doing, like, playing this video game on Twitch. Oh, I wonder if he's emulating this guy. And if you're not emulating that guy, they'll be pissed at you. But if you are emulating that guy, they're still pissed at you. So it's just the fuck?
You can't be original. There's no such thing as original anymore. You come out, and no matter what your personality is, if someone clicks on it, they're going to definitely be like, oh, you sound like this guy. Your setup or your overlays look like that guy's or whatever. You can always compare somebody to somebody else. And that's what I mean. Sometimes they'll just look down at you because they'll look at like your follower account and be like, oh, that's why you must put out shit content.
Yeah, it's such bullshit.
It's like, no, I'm just hanging out. I'm like, I just started streaming. I don't know what the hell you want me to do. I made a lot of cool overlay effects. Like when I get followers and stuff, I did all that stuff. But besides that, I had people message me saying, hey, I will get you 50 new followers. And then they didn't offer it to me. They offered me to offer them. They basically said, hey, I can get you 50 new followers. If I do so, would you be willing to PayPal me as payment?
I just
Yeah, I said, I'm going to delete that message.
Yeah, like, what in the scam is this?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not trying to, like, if I'm going to build a little community of gamers, I'd like them to be people. I don't need bots or these fake accounts or pay to win or pay to view or do, what is it, follow for follow Friday. Hey guys, yeah. Come follow my account, I'll follow yours. No. If you like this stuff, cool, hit follow, whatever.
Yeah. The only thing I suggest to people who are trying to get a following is find a Facebook group or just Reddit, a subreddit, and just post about when you're going live. And people can just come over and find you, and if they like you, they'll stick around.
Yeah. So, yeah, I am in a couple, like, gaming computer, like, little groups in the area or whatever, like, local groups. And I haven't seen anybody, like, boast or, like, post or share or try to promote their, you know, their Twitch channel or whatever on there. So, I'm nervous to do that. I mean, maybe that's not allowed on this channel. Because I see most people, like, posting about their funny, you know, encounters on OfferUp, like they're selling, they found like somebody selling an old video card for, you know, $7,000 or whatever it is, and they'll just share their conversation with the people, or they're asked, you know, people's opinion about different specs. Like, that's kind of what I see on there every day. So I feel weird going on there and be like, hey guys, come look at my Twitch. So I'm,
yeah,
maybe I can find groups that are meant to be dedicated to doing that, but I haven't tried.
Yeah. The easiest way is just look in the group rules. They don't want you to be self-promoting. They usually state it right there in the group rules.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, I'm in a Facebook group for podcast promoting, and the only thing is just Tuesdays and Thursdays, no self-promotion. Other than that, it's free game.
Well, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I'll have to look at it then. Because like I said, I'm not trying to quit my job or anything, but it would be cool to play to more than three people, two people.
Yeah.
One of them being myself for, like, you know, QC, QA. Because I'll have my phone down on the bottom, usually playing my own stream, and I'll, like, pop my ear out and listen to it and be like, I think the levels sound okay.
Yeah.
it's my double check. That, or I'm watching one of my buddies stream who I am playing with, because we're just trying to help each other's view counts get a little higher. Because I noticed that's how Twitch works. If you do go onto Twitch and you say there's a one game you do want to watch, so you go to the browse screen and you're like, yeah, I feel like watching League of Legends today. You click on League of Legends, and it has all the people streaming League of Legends at that moment. But at the top is the highest viewer, and the bottom is the lowest viewers, the viewer counts. So yeah, the more just viewers you have in your thing, the more, I guess, accessible you're going to be. So when me and my buddy have, you know, 2 to 6 people watching, when a new person does come in there and they're from, and it's like, I have no idea who they are. I've had people from Arizona join, people from the other side of the country join, like, or not the other side of the country, other side of the world. This guy was from freaking Belgium. Like, I've had people come from all over the place, and I'm like, how did you find me? I'm like, it's so amazing. It's so cool. So I want to feel that more. You know what I mean? It'd be cool to have a bunch more followers, people watching from all over. That'd be cool.
Yeah. It's really awesome when you do get to see, like, the analytics of everything, and you just notice, like, some of the, like, the people you're bringing in. It's like, oh, I was looking recently, I got an Australian viewer. I was, like, sitting there going, it's like, that's what's fucking up.
Yeah, you know? It's cool. It's like, man, this internet thing's all right.
Yeah. Half the time, this internet's not bad. The other half, it's fucking scary.
Yeah, see, I grew up in a Modern Warfare, Xbox 360, Xbox Live party chats. God, so,
Xbox Live chats.
So it made me nervous about what the internet is truly meant for, or its, you know, true potential or power in the right hands. But in teenager hands, oh, God.
Oh, God. Anything in a teenager's hands is just scary as fuck.
Dude, if half the stuff happened to my mom that these people said happened to her, she'd be dead. I mean, there's just no way someone could take that many dicks. I don't know.
It's just like, there's a certain number. You guys just want too many.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you gotta breathe, right? She could service 5 at a time, but It's just at some point you gotta eat.
You giving your mama credit. You she could serve us five at a time. It's just like, damn.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a
like
fun
a champ.
It's a fun image when you picture someone you love in a real risky situation.
God. Oh man, that's fucking hilarious. And what's hilarious is my next question. It's so hard time now. So, what's it like being a new dad?
Oh. good segue. Oh,
fuck.
It's tossing up the pizza dough is what you do. Hey!
Oh, fuck.
That's a lot of fun. I shouldn't even say fun. It's a lot of everything, man. It's fun and heartwarming and amazing when he's laughing and you're interacting with him, and it's heart-wrenching and stressful and frustrating when he's screaming and crying and you can't figure out what the hell about. Because he can't talk yet, so we're in that stage. You know, he's about, he'll be creeping up on 6 months here soon. So... Damn. We're in that spot where he's going to start teething soon, so there's going to be nothing we can do at all. So he has his moments, but for the most part, it's a lot of fun. It's awesome.
Do you get yourself one of those sick teething necklaces?
No.
Wear that bling bling on the stream.
Right? I wanted to make a thing called a dad shirt, because I was like, it'd be cool to have like a shirt that had like a pacifier attachments or like the little crinkling stuff on the sleeves. Like, so while you're holding the baby, he has all this entertainment stuff.
Oh, dude, yeah, that'd be fucking brilliant.
Yeah, I was like, that. So I was thinking, I was like, you know what, that could sell. I could see that in Target.
Yeah, get like some nice like soft ass fabric to make the shirt out of.
Exactly.
You just have like all the little fucking things.
Yep, and it'll make them interchangeable, and you can buy packs and colors.
Yeah, hydrophobic too, so spit up and anything that leaks through the diaper just goes whoop right off of it.
Yep, maybe make a little kangaroo pouch. I'm just saying.
Fucking brilliant.
So then I did
make it like a hoodie,
somebody...
and you can just have this like a little papoose shirt.
Yeah, I did see on Facebook or whatever, because, you know, it listens to me. Maybe it heard me talking about this idea before, but the shirt showed up that had a big pouch in the front, and the, you know, baby sat in the pouch on the shirt, like a baby wrap, but without wrapping it. So, you know, it's stitched to the shirt. And I was like, that's half my idea right there. Oh, no. I need to jump on this now.
You know what was so sad when you were first describing it? I was just like, oh, I know what he's talking about. It's that hoodie that has a pouch where you could put a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
Pizza totally pocket. Went the opposite way. My fat ass over here sitting like, ooh, pizza hoodie.
Yeah. Or like a popcorn hoodie. You wear it backwards, you got the hood with all the popcorn.
Oh, fuck. God, it's just, we just keep inventing new ways to be fat and fucking lazy.
Yes, we do. That's what we're best at, man. America.
America.
Yeah. You're going to save the motherfucking day, yeah.
Oh, that's fucking great. And I know you were talking about Slipknot and Trivium, and that brings me to wondering about what's the band that you've been really, this like, hardcore listening to recently? It's like getting you through this fucking pandemic.
Oh, Trivium. For sure, there. Because Sin in a Sentence is still amazing, and I still can't like pick a favorite song off of it. But then this new album, the Amongst the Shadows and the Stone, I think is the full title of the album. I think
What Dead Men Say.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's just one of the songs. But
yes.
It's just the drumming gets me every time. I'm like, holy Christ, man!
So, Matt Heafy's voice. It's just immaculate.
It's right on the money. Yeah. And what's weird is like I've listened to them for years, and that's why they're the one logo I have on me, whatever. And it's a rendition of their logo. So it's not like I have the death bat on me for, you know, Avenged Sevenfold or something. But Trivium was the band that made me start to play guitar. Like they're the influential band. And way back then I didn't like his voice. And he was also screaming incorrectly, and he was doing stuff wrong.
Yeah.
But I did not like it. It did sound too straining, and I liked everything else about the band. Like, but I did not, because what was it? Light the Flies. It's Light the Flies is something. It's an older song of theirs, but
yeah.
Or like Light to the Flies or something weird like that. But everything about it was awesome. And then his voice came in. And I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
But the song that made me start loving them and start playing guitar was Suffocating Sight, which was like, they were already, I think, a couple albums deep by that point.
Fuck yeah. My introduction to Trivium was Silence in the Snow.
Oh, okay. So yeah, the new wave of them.
Yeah, that album and song was the first one. And then I checked out Blind Leading the Blind from that album. And I was just like, okay, this is pretty fucking tits. And then just been diehard on Trivium since. Because they've just done nothing but progress from there to where it's just, like, so bitching. Like I said, I think, like, Alex being added was the final piece to the puzzle they needed.
Oh, yeah. And that's why, because they've had a different studio drummer, or they got, like, a studio drummer every album. They just kept switching out drummers. So that's why I was so nervous. I was like, when they finally got Alex Bent, when they came out with this newest album, I was like, I hope they didn't switch again. Because that dude was perfect. Because they were already one of the groups you can dissect, and that's what I love in some of the better, more talented groups, is where you can take one song, say it has five layers on it, you can strip them all out and listen to each track and be entertained the whole song. So you can listen to the guitar track alone, and it's not just the same riff over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah. And then as the song goes, they just add shit over it to, like, you know, make it sound bigger or whatever the hell. It actually changes, and it's a weird thing. I like peaks and valleys in my music, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
And
that's what I love about the new Slipknot shit.
Yeah, and that's what the same thing with the Trivium stuff was. When Alex Bent finally came in, the drums have always been really good, you know, now that they had any bad drummers by no means. Yeah. But his just, I could just sit back and just listen to just the drum track and be amazed. And then the guitar has always been solid for them, just never been a question. Bass is bass. I mean, he's good. He does backup. He's also good at that too. It's just once that, like you said, he was just that perfect topper on the cake.
Yeah, and I think the main reason that definitely changed it too is, just like you said, none of the old drummers were bad. But I think with Alex Bent being you're in. You're just in. You're not here just for this album. That made it so much better, because it's just like, we are a whole, just putting the music out, not, hey, here's what we want you to drum for this album.
Yeah, and he's also one of those also talented people that there's that level of pro musician that's, you know, amazing. But then there's another just little step that he's on with all these other amazing drummers. And this new wave of music or new wave of metal, or it's not even a new wave, it's these old bands and new faces. Like, Ben Sevenfold got Brooks Wackerman, who is who is astonishing.
Yes,
but it's not the Rev, which is the same concept. It's like, Jay Weinberg, amazing, but he's not Joey Jordison. It's like it's like almost like sports fans. You know, that's kind of what I associate it to, because I give two shits about sports, but this is how I equate to them and how I emotionally attach myself to them, is that when a member of a band leaves, it's just like my favorite player on my football team left, and now he's playing on another team, or maybe he retired, you know, say the musician died or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, I still love the team, but Jerry Rice was my favorite receiver, you know what I mean? It's like, I still love Venged, but I loved you because of the Rev, you know what I mean? It's just, there's so many little things, or Joey Jordan's, or whatever it is, but all these bands have these new faces. The new drummer, all of them, the drummers are amazing, because they're all drummers, and it's just, they have the capability of playing all the stuff that the legend before them put down. Then they have this another, hey, let me serve my sauce on it.
Yeah, that was the most unfortunate thing for me, is I found Avenged Sevenfold after the Rev passed.
Oh, yeah. So you missed the wave of it.
Yeah. I was introduced by Avenged Sevenfold from one of my brother's friends when he moved in with us. He had the poster of the Nightmare cover art. And I was what's that? And he's just like, oh, come here, my child. Let me teach you the ways. Because at this point in time, regrettably, I hate to say it, I was into Miley Cyrus pop shit at that point in time.
Really?
I was 14 years old. I was fucking brainwashed by fucking The Rat, fucking Disney and all that shit. And he showed me fucking Natural Born Killer from the Nightmare album. And I was like sitting there going, it's like,
oh. Yep. What is this?
Just like, you are welcome. And I just went in and then I bought the White album. And let's listen to that. And I'm just like, God damn, this is just amazing. Well, everything about this is great. And I found out about the Rev's passing, and I found out that the Rev, the drums on Nightmare were, I always forget if it's Mike or Dave Portnoy from Dream Theater.
Mike.
He laid down the drums in on the Nightmare album, and how just fucking great that was. And then when they got Aaron for the Hail to the King album.
Yeah, that's where... Yeah. Oh, man, that one hurt.
I was going, like, he could be good. But it's just when they parted ways because they didn't want to continue doing the same music together. They the rest of the band wanted to go the route that they went with the stage. And Aaron just didn't want to go do that. But I'm so glad they did because...
Fucking Wackerman. I'm so glad too. That and I mean, it was weird. I wondered why they did that with the with Aaron, because Mike Portnoy was amazing, and he's also. But this is the story I heard. Could be bullshit, but I believe it just because I've heard it from a credible source. But he also, you know, it's just the social media days. You never know. But so Mike Portnoy wanted to continue with the band and continue playing with Avenged, and originally he. I don't remember who approached who, but I guess the Rev was saying how Mike Portnoy was an inspiration on the Rev, and then Mike Portnoy the whole time was saying, well, shit, that kid is an inspiration on me. You know, he's a badass drummer. So when he did pass, Mike and the band said, hey, you know, I'd love to do a album together and do it as a tribute to the Rev, and I'll do a tour for you. But then after the tour and shit was over, I guess Mike wanted to continue playing with these guys, and the thing I heard, I want to say, like, maybe I read it on, like, LiveWire or something, because I want to say I read it on Facebook, or on a link, or on Facebook, or something. I don't know, but it was saying that Mike wanted to continue with the band because the guys were young and fun and full of energy, and it was everything that, you know, he remembered from playing when 20 years ago or whatever with Dream Theater. So the band said no, though. The band was the band's like, no, you've already made a name for yourself. You're already a legend. We'd like to the opportunity to go to somebody who hasn't seen, you know, the other side of the rainbow, hasn't seen the greener grass yet. Because I don't know if Aaron was in any bands beforehand or if he was big at all, but I've never heard of the kid before he joined.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if when he came in, he was not trying to step on the toes of the drummers before him, Mike and the Rev. But the drumming was so simple for, like... The whole album, I was like, he obviously has the chops, because if he plays live with them, they got to play their older stuff, so he has to be able to play it, so why isn't he doing something interesting besides the classic freaking AC/DC beat, Hail to the King, like, the whole fucking time?
Yeah. And honestly, what I think was happening with Mike and the band, if I remember correctly, is the problems with the record label.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, because I remember they finished off their contract by doing Hail to the King, which is, I think, another reason why the Hail to the King was kind of a throw-it-in record for them. And then after that, like, all the articles broke about them having problems with, I think it was Hopeless or Roadrunner. I forgot who it was. But there was just, they were just having problems with it, and they... They got out of it and went to Capitol Records, and they just did that fucking bomb of a live stream. I don't know if you remember that in 2016.
Yeah, well, they're on the top.
They did the live stream on top of the Capitol building, and then out of nowhere, right afterwards, they were just like, oh, hey, by the way, our new album's out.
Yeah, and then you listen to the first track, and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. You're just sitting there, just like, oh, this is so cool. And they did free songs. You're just like, oh, that sucks. There's only free songs. But then all of a sudden, there's every streaming service just has The Stage by Avenged Sevenfold. And you're just like,
Yep. I was working pest control at the time, so I was able to, like, you know, I was doing commercial stuff, so I could walk around hotels and stuff and spray. So I'd be left on my own. So I'd be walking around earbud in, and I was listening to that album the oh man, damn near the hour it came out. I was like, oh,
it was so fucking good. And it's just like, I was tentative about Brooks Wackerman at first, because I was just like, he's the drummer for Tenacious D. Like, Tenacious D rocks Black, sometimes.
And what was it, but, Black Pacific too? Or Black Flag?
I don't know. I just
he was also from a punk band, and that's what I was worried about. I was worried that, all right, I'm going to listen to Avenged Sevenfold Punk Edition.
Yeah.
that's what I was worried about, because I forgot. I didn't know, or at least I might have known, but it was, you know, not in my head at all, that he was or is the drummer for Tenacious D.
Yeah. He left Tenacious D to do Avenged Sevenfold full-time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
do you know the drums for them now? He's still part of it.
Yeah, he's on the drums for them right now. They've just been waiting. They haven't been able to finish recording this new album because of COVID.
Well, no. Who's the new drummer for Tenacious D?
Oh, I have no clue.
Oh, give me a call. I got you. Jack Black, make it happen, man. What is it? Reddit, do your thing.
Yeah, Reddit, do your thing. Oh, man. But fucking, see what Tenacious D fucking. Number one, Tenacious D has always just been awesome.
Yeah.
Straight out the gate. They've just, like, the classics of, like, Fucker Gently, fucking Kickapoo, Beelzeboss, all that shit, Master Exploder. And their most recent album, I remember 2 years ago, out in Vegas, me and Jen, we went to their New Year's Eve concert, where we rang in the new year, jamming to Tenacious D.
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing the billboards for it. I thought that'd been awesome. That'd been so much fun.
Yeah, it was fucking great. They started the show at like 11, or like at 10, and they went, and then they did the countdown to midnight, and they played for another 30 minutes after that, and said goodnight. So that's had just like full, just like awesome, just like you spent New Year's Eve with Jack Black and KG.
That's awesome, yeah. Because I was said, "That's like fucking 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year, all right, see ya,
have fun,
have a good night."
And they had Sasquatch on stage.
Yeah, bring out the devil fucking, and everything.
Yeah, it was just fucking awesome. But when they did for 2020, earlier in the year, not earlier in the year. But close to election day, when they released Rocky the Vote, where they covered Time Warp from Rocky Horror Picture Show. Oh my god! Oh my god! They covered it, and they had so many like cameos of like actors, actresses, politicians, all there just promoting. It's just like, go fucking vote!
Right?
It was so great, and it was a great cover, too, and it's just Jack Black in all these different costumes, just way too tight of costumes, too.
Of course, naturally.
Belly's flopping out. It was fucking great. It's always, everyone forgets when they talk about rock, about Tenacious D, because they just lump them in as comedy, but god damn it, do they fucking rock?
Yeah, it's like, they're actually playing up there, it's not just... That's where I was wondering when I first heard about them. I was like, okay, it's one thing to be a comedy act and, you know, you have a backtrack and you're just up there, you know, faking the guitar or whatever, and maybe you're lip syncing, maybe you're not even actually, because he sings, sure, but there's just this weird kind of talking sing that he does a lot of the time, so it's like, it's not meant to be on key or be impressive. So it's like...
But there are times where it is fucking impressive what Jack Black can pull out.
But then I finally see some live video or live stuff of them, and it's they are playing. It is a full and competent band. It is a theatrical show because they have all these little cutscenes and stuff. I was like, this is awesome. I would love to go see this.
Fuck yeah! I mean, you know they're fucking great and they can hold their own. When 2019, they did a show where they opened up for Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're right huge. There. Right
and they're
there.
Still it's huge.
Like, yeah. It says if you're playing alongside the Foo Fighters and you're not getting like fucking murdered on by people in the crowd, then you're just a fucking great musician.
Yeah, people are there to actually see you. Yeah, people are there to see you beforehand. Yeah. Especially at the Foo Fighters. Yeah, no. That's one of those shows you know you gotta, if you're opening up for them, it's gonna be a big show. Like, that's like, for me, that's why, like, the next band I'd love to open up for, which is a long stretch, but it's just a band I've been digging a lot lately, and it's more in the realm of what I'd kind of like to do next, is Slaughter to Prevail.
Oh, nice.
So I'd like to do some real heavy stuff.
What's the lead singer's name? Something Terrible?
Alex.
Alex Terrible, yeah.
Yep.
He's like, I checked it out and he surprised me with his gutturals. Really, like those deep ass gutturals, my asshole just clenched up. I could hear it squeak, and I was just like, oh god.
Yep. He has the best way to check it out though, to like hear his actual like range and what he does with his voice, is on his YouTube channel, whatever. He does this, I forget the name of it, but he has like some production company that where he does metal covers of pop songs, or not even just pop, just all sorts of different songs that aren't metal. Like he did the Billie Eilish Bad Guy song.
I saw the All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah. It's just that when you hear those songs where there isn't a metal vocal or whatever, which of course on his tracks they're written by them, but it's just all the instruments and stuff accompanying it, you know what you're going to hear. So when you finally hear a cover of the Bad Guy song where she's singing like half asleep and all the weird, I hate that stuff.
God.
And he comes out, just a bad guy, this is all shit. But his freaking range is insane.
Yeah, they're fucking, yeah.
Yeah, me and my girl were arguing the other day, who's better, Alex Terrible or Mitch Lucker?
Oh man, putting it up against Luker, man.
Or Luker, yeah. I always
the
do
Luker
that.
Luker. The Luker stomp was just fucking great.
Came from the heavens.
I know. It's just like that man was flexible as fuck. His foot was above his head. Then he just go, boom.
Yeah. And what I told her, I was like, I think Alex has more range just from how low he can get to how high he can get. But I think Mitch can get higher for sure. But then I think Alex can get lower.
Yeah.
So I think they kind of cross each other just a little bit to where they're in the same book. They're in the same realm.
Something that I think about too is for Alex Terrible, it looks like he has to get really close to the mic. So it doesn't seem like he has a lot of power behind his voice. Meanwhile, Mitch Luker, you could see he could have the mic almost a foot away from his mouth and you could hear him coming through.
Dude, there's videos of their song Demolisher. I don't know if you've heard that one yet for Slaughter to Prevail. The breakdown on it is godly. It is just stupid, evil, dude. It is amazing. It's just nasty. But it's a big buildup and everything. And eventually the buildup, you know, everything goes quiet and then it's just a vocal line, just a pit call, right? So it says, Demolisher, and then everything drops like at the end. But that vocal line right there is just so dirty and so nasty and so loud and powerful that you would not think he couldn't do it without a microphone in his fucking throat, right? But there's live video of them playing this song, and when the breakdown happens, he shushes the whole crowd. And this camera is a good 10 rows of people away from the stage. Everybody goes quiet, whatever, and he has the mic off to his side and he just screams the line and you can hear it like it's still coming through the plate. I'm like, okay, that dude has fucking power. Yeah, I mean, if you look at him, he's built for that, dude. He has the body for a freaking dog.
A beefy boy.
Yeah, he's like a pit bull of a man. Just
what we were talking about earlier was just the sounds of the bands. Fucking Slipknot's new shit. From We Are Not Your Kind.
Yep.
God damn it. It is so experimental in such a godly and also classic Slipknot way.
Yep.
You know?
Has that just chaos just going on at by the same time. It's all orchestrated. It's just in a perfect balance, but all these layers of shit to listen to.
Yeah. And it totally, like, fucking, I said it before when I listened to Hydrograd from Stone Sour. Corey Taylor quitting smoking has done wonders for his fucking voice.
Oh, yeah.
His voice has gotten powerful. He's hitting deeper fucking growls. He's hitting higher screams whenever he wants to. So fucking great to hear, because you could hear from going from 0.5 to Gray Chapter, and then Stone Sour's Hydrograd, and now We Are Not Your Kind. It's just his voice just sounds so crispy.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it makes a huge difference. Like, I smoked on and off for a long time, so right now I'm smoking a vape. So I'm not smoking cigarettes, but smoking a vape. So it's like, you know, it's pick who you want to be raped by. You know, I like to think it's the lesser of the two evils. You know, I like to think vaping is better than cigarettes, but cigarettes are, it's still all bad for you, whatever. But like while on tour or whatever, and you're playing these multiple shows, smoking sucks.
You
feel your lung capacity just shorter than you would expect it to be. And then, especially if you're like me, I'm such a spaz on stage. I run all over the place and freaking jump in the mosh pit with my wireless. And I'm just that guy that if I'm not well rested and hydrated and damn near stretched now that I'm, you know, getting older, I'm shut down for 3 to 5 days after the show. Like I just did stairs or did just climbed a mountain or did a hard leg day. I just can't move around. So I can't, now that I stopped, then when I did stop smoking for a while and I didn't vape either, the changes are noticeable and they happen over time though. So like if you are, you know, smoking or whatever and you quit for a day or two, you're not going to notice anything. Especially if you're like me, I smoked for years before I even tried to. Maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah.
But as the months go by, it's just such a huge difference. And then if you're doing vocals, like me, I'm trying to get better at vocals. So I don't go to a vocal coach, but, you know, pandemic and shit, I have this little computer and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I'll do the virtual whatever. And vaping's still my way, sure. But just not smoking cigarettes, it's just the vocal capacity you have, the strength in your diaphragm, but just everything feels a little bit better and your throat isn't as strained.
Yeah.
So as long as if you cut out smoking and you keep practicing on your vocal, that's the biggest part, you know, keep working that muscle out, which obviously that's what he did. He freaking stopped smoking, improved his health, then maybe it's possible he went for a whole, you know, the whole nine yards. Someone told him, hey, man, you got to get healthier, and he might have changed his diet. He could have. There's so many things that go into a vocalist that people don't know or don't recognize.
Yeah.
Like, your whole body's that you are an instrument. Your vocal is your instrument, and you got to take care of your instrument. Because if you don't, it's going to be a shit show.
No shit. Yep.
So I think he, and especially as you get older, it's not so easy to just run up on stage on, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night, get fucked up all those days and then sleep on a tour bus on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And do it again every weekend.
Especially knowing fucking 2019, he had both his knees had surgery.
Yeah. So yeah, he's getting old, man. He got to stop jumping off the boxes and shit. I've seen him. I seen him live. He was just doing that shit 5 years ago. I was like, you gotta stop, man.
What's hilarious is he's gotten knee surgery. And I saw him live in 2019 for the Knotfest Roadshow. He was still going crazy, just a little bit in more moderation.
Right. He's like, I'm going to walk down these steps instead of jumping, but I'm going to do it aggressively.
Yeah, he was all over the stage, but instead of like fucking booking it running, he was just doing a nice brisk-paced walk.
A nice power walk.
Yeah, but it still did not take away from it whatsoever.
But that was before his trash bag mask, right? His little plastic doll mask.
Oh no, that was it.
I don't like that. I don't like it. That's probably my least favorite mask.
it looks better now because he changed it halfway through the tour cycle for the Not Fest Road Show by cutting slits into it and then sewing it.
Well, that
because before it just made him look so fat.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a good meme or a good picture of him looking over just there.
Yeah. Like the people who like cut out the fucking milk cartons and just like, can I be in Slipknot now?
Look, I did it. I made my own mask.
Yeah. But it definitely looks better now with that. Because like the stitches add a cool effect and it's just more conformed to his face, which looks so much better. And yeah. I do love the fact that it's a multi-tool of a mask. It's a new mask every night if he wants it to. Because all he has to do is just do new, different type of face paint.
Yeah, that is true. That is nice. Because that's what I did like about his old mask with the Chapter 5 or whatever, where he had that tear away and it was skull underneath, but the whole mask, you know, could move with his face. So that was just, it looked really badass. It was really cool. But with his new, with the faceplate thing, that's cool. Yeah, if he changes it, but I haven't seen him in a different setup. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Well, we are nearing the end, so I'm going to ask you one last question that I've been doing. Okay. What would you say is the top 5 most influential albums for you?
Oh, man. That's a good one. Of all time or right now?
All time.
Oh, damn.
You can go back to the 20s if you want to.
It's, yeah, dude. Mine come from pretty old, like much older than me, even. Like, let's see. It's like early Styx. That's kind of where I grew up with, was 70s and 60s stuff from my parents. I was raised on classic rock and country, everything from Garth Brooks to George Strait to Boston to Nazareth. I mean, I was into the such wide spectrum of classic music, essentially.
Fuck yeah.
And then my brothers, they're just over a decade older than me, so, you know, they're a different generation and everything. They listened to rap, which then bled down to me. And so I found that, too, so I niched out that way, and I found some other bands that were mixing genres a little bit, you know, like Limp Bizkit and shit like that, where it's like rap rock, rap this, rap country wasn't a thing and it never should be, but so I went down that rabbit hole for a little while, and the thing I kept gripping to, though, was the rhythmic side of it and more focus on the message of the music, the words too, but I also like to have the guy have a good voice, good cadence, stay on beat, things like that, good metaphors. So the new age rap with the new guys, I'm completely out. The freaking, the Twisteds, the 69, the weird people, whatever the fuck.
Tech is one of the few rappers I still listen to. Tech and Eminem.
Eminem, Tech, Logic, Joyner Lucas, fucking Kendrick Lamar. Those are people I still listen to today. But as far as influencing growing up, I'm going off topic. So for the music I play, it's going to be Styx. Then it has to be the Trivium album. I'm trying to remember the name of the album that has Suffocating Sight on it. Because that was my, I'm going to play guitar. I guess before that, that got me into metal. I should go before that too. Is going to probably be Linkin Park. Some good old Linkin Park, you know what I mean? What else? Trivium and Avenged Sevenfold and Bullet for My Valentine were the three bands in high school that molded my metal, like, where I liked it. Asking Alexandria and stuff came in, but I was never big into the big screamo bands, like Attack Attack and shit like that. I liked more the metal side. I still landed in metalcore. I was always on the metal side of things. So, like, the high-pitched screamers and shit I was out on. But the power guys or the dudes who were sitting at the singing, screaming level, that was my niche. So those would probably be the 5 right there. Albums themselves would take me a while So I'll just leave it at that. Those are the ones that like kind of just molded my music, like how I like to create it and how I like to form it. Those ones. I mean, my whole music palette is insane, though. I have playlists for every genre. The only one I don't really like is the new age rap, new age pop, new age country. New age country just sounds like pop. I don't understand what the hell happened there. And then the EDM shit I can't get behind, only because I can. I did do it. I did DJ. I've done it. It's fucking easy, though. And some of these guys getting treated like they're amazing musicians makes me so mad. I understand if you're an EDM artist and you got to have some music theory knowledge at least. Maybe you can play the keyboards. Maybe you can understand how scales and shit work. I don't know. At least you have some kind of knowledge in music. I'll give you that credit. But the guys who don't make their own mix, don't make their own songs, you know, make their own instruments, and, you know, because you can do that. I've done it. Make your own songs. Make your own EDM song. You made all the sounds, and you made the whole song. But these guys who come in and just play music that's already been recorded, and then they find a song that matches the BPM, and they just use a little slider and transition one song into another and call themselves a musician. I'm like, you're a fucking iPod, bro. My iPod can do this.
Oh, shit.
So, that's fucking... Yeah, I can't do it. Like, oof. It gets me every time. Because I see people go to these things, the EDC and all these giant festivals, and spend this stupid amount of money to go see this majority of the time pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Fucking pre-recorded music. It's pre-recorded. It's like, what the fuck?
You're just watching it. You're paying out the ass to watch a guy press a space bar and dance around.
And that's the weird thing. That's where I get jaded, because there's some songs, there's some people there that where I can, they put a metal aspect into it, and I'm like, okay, I can dig this track. This is cool. Or there's other tracks that have nothing to do with metal, but that has this breakdown mentality, because EDM has the same formula like all over the place. It's you know, a 1 minute build up and like a 30 second drop and then a 30 second fucking interlude. And then repeat, and then build, drop, build, drop, build, drop. It's just all it is. So when these dudes come in and they flip the script or make it sound a little different, or they have a breakdown mentality, I feel like their drops are just so slow and so filthy. I kind of like, all right, this is cool. I fuck with this, but I would not pay to go see it live. It's just so strange. I don't know. It's because I got to give the credit where the credit's due, but I also got to shit on it a little bit.
Oh, man. That's great, man. Well, I got to say, man, this is a very fun podcast.
Yeah, man, it was great. It was a good time. I haven't done a podcast in a minute, because last time I did one was promoting for an old band of mine, and I was with my bassist, and that was like one of the first podcasts I did in a while too. So it's a weird nervousness, because you're just like, I don't even know where to start. Or like for me, I have my streaming set up right now. So my camera's over here. So if I'm like talking to my camera, I'm talking to the viewer or to the listener, or technically to you. But while you're talking, I naturally want to look at you.
Yeah.
Which you're over here. So I didn't know if I should change that up or if I should look around. So I just kind of kept flopping. But I had a good time, man. Yeah. I'll definitely do it again sometime. You know, when you get 100 followers or whatever, we'll do a special.
Yeah, we'll just get drunk as fucking.
Exactly. Just straight Viking style. Just get the freaking horns out and drink.
Fuck yeah, man. But it is definitely a refreshing podcast. It was very fun just to talk with you. It was great to catch up with you. Do you have anything you want to put out there to promote for yourself?
Not really. I mean, you mentioned the Twitch channel, so if people do want to check that out, you can. It's XP13PIPERX, and so that's at the Twitch, whatever. You know, that's the only thing I really got going on right now. Besides that, I just kind of enjoyed the conversation. Miss you, man. Moved away. Yeah. But the pandemic and stuff and everything, we didn't, you know, get to see each other too much anyways.
Well, that is it for today's episode. Please check out Zach's Twitch and just show them all the love you can.
Yeah, in the future, I'm writing my own album with my own, you know, I'm playing everything, the drums, the bass, the guitar, vocals, doing the whole nine yards, doing 12 tracks, four of them going to have features from different, nobody huge, but, you know, I got some friends. So, you know, I am going to have my own album, but it's just such a long way away that it's not even worth promoting, but it's worth teasing, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. All right, man, that's fucking awesome. Bye, guys.